Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
In a series called RSVP. RSVP, this is part four of the... Part four of the series. I told y'all allergies had me. Part four of the series, RSVP. In this series, we're talking about the fact that God is having a party. The party is called the Kingdom of God. It's one of the best parties ever. It's the longest party ever. When I was young, we used to have a song that said, the party don't stop. Holy Ghost party just does not stop. And the reality is, this is a party that has been going on for centuries, and you and I are able to take part in the life-changing party. And that's our series RSVP. We're also invited to invite others to take part in this life-changing party. So I invite you to stand as we are now getting ready to embark on part four of the series RSVP. I do indeed hope that you are making use of the inserts that will help hopefully guide you throughout the week. And there's some also some thought-provoking questions. At least I think there's thought-provoking questions at the bottom of the insert that I ask you to pray about, to struggle with throughout the week as well. That way the sermon doesn't just last for Sunday, but you're able to think about it throughout the week also. So I invite your attention to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number five. I refer to him as Dr. Luke because Luke was a physician. And so when Luke wrote very intentional what he was getting ready to say. A couple of weeks ago, we were in the fifth chapter of Luke, but we were a little further down. So this week, we're looking at the first verse of chapter number five. And we'll read down through the 11th verse. Luke chapter number 5, so if you have your Bible, a hard copy with pages in it, we have to go to a particular page number. If you have an iPhone, an Android, I'm not sure if it's on the little Apple Watch thing. Some of y'all who have that, it may be on there as well. It's the Bible app. Luke chapter number 5, when you have it, say amen. If you're still looking, say hold up. All right, Luke chapter number 5, here's what it says. I'm reading from the New International Version. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon said, "Okay, you're a speaker. You speak, so you don't really do fishing. Let me help you understand." And Simon said, "Master, we have worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." They had done so. They caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Will you help me introduce this morning sermon by looking to your neighbor, looking at your neighbor and saying, "Neighbor"? Okay, let's try this again. I have allergies. I don't know all y'all have allergies. Look at your neighbor with a smile on your face, and I want you to really mean it. Neighbor, this morning sermon is fishing lessons from Jesus. Look at another neighbor. Look across sections if you have to, and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor,
this morning's sermon is
fishing lessons
from Jesus. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Simon, now wait for me. Ready, my Lord, I will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit Divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Fishing lessons from Jesus. Amen. I can remember as a little boy, some of you all know now, I grew up in a country area. Now, I moved to New Orleans when I was 11 years old. I was 11 years old, I moved to New Orleans. Before that, I lived in a very country area called Angie, Louisiana. Don't Google it. Don't look for it. Angie, Louisiana didn't even have a full stoplight. It was just one of those that blinked. It was just one little stoplight in Angie, Louisiana. We had one gas station, but you couldn't get gas on Sunday in Angie, Louisiana because everything shut down. And I did not have central heat. I chopped wood in Angie, Louisiana. And so when we went to hunt and things like that, it wasn't for game or for sport. It was to eat. And so I can remember my grandmother took me out fishing. And I was excited about it, y'all. I was so excited. I can remember the orange-looking bamboo pole. We didn't have no fishing rod. No, we had a stick, and that was it. We went out, and I remember sitting on a bucket, and I got this little worm and put it on the line, and I threw it out there. And you just kind of, it wasn't going to cast nowhere, so you just kind of threw it out the water and let it sit there. So I'm looking. I'm excited. I'm like 7 years old. I just want to catch a fish. And I felt something nibble on it. I pulled it up, and I just saw my bait was gone. It was frustrating. I'm mad. Like, why didn't I catch anything? So then my grandmother helped me out again. She said, now listen, you see the little ball? When you go under the water, then you pull up, and you'll catch something. Okay, cool. So I did that. Threw it out there. I caught something. Y'all, this was the biggest fish known to humanity. It was about this big. Listen, this was the biggest fish anyone has ever caught in life. At 7 years old, that fish looked humongous. And to me, I was just happy to catch something. That was my first fishing experience. Fishing is a great sport. It's something that men and women have done for years. I get a rush when the rod begins to bend. As a matter of fact, just last night, because I was preaching this sermon, I watched one of the fishing shows. They were catching like tuna or something like that. And so one person caught one tuna. And they said, oh yes, that's a $5,000 catch. Now, I never caught a $5,000 fish before. I didn't even know it was humanly possible to catch a fish worth $5,000. But I'm going tuna fishing sometime this summer to see if I can catch me a tuna. But it's a great feeling. It's exhilarating. Once you begin to feel that tug on the line, I don't care how big the fish is, it's still very fun to finally catch something. There is excitement in the air each and every time you catch a fish. Fishing is a great sport. It's lots and lots and lots of fun, as long as you're catching fish. Oh, but when you get out fishing, you woke up early in the morning. As a matter of fact, it started the day before because you went and got your bait. You may have went shopping at Walmart or something and got you a brand new fishing rod. You really wanted to just test it out. Or you have been watching a show, or you flipped through a magazine, and in your mind you have become some great fisherman. And you go out there, and you're out early in the morning. You're talking, jogging with other people who really do fish, like you know what they're talking about. It's a great time. And you go out for hours, and you catch nothing. I don't care what kind of equipment you have. You're out there in the sun and you catch nothing. That's one of the most frustrating experiences you can have in your life. To try it and to catch nothing. For hours you're there. You move to a different location hoping to get a bite, but nothing. And after hours of toiling, you've caught no fish. The reality is that disappointment can set in. And you begin to tell yourself, well, maybe today just isn't my day. Or you begin to tell yourself, I didn't like fishing anyway. I don't even know why I came out here to fish. This is the situation that we find in the text. In the text, we have Jesus standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, which is actually the Sea of Galilee. And he's speaking the word of God to a large crowd of people. So many of them are coming at him. He looks behind him and he sees two boats at the water's edge left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He gets into one of the boats belonging to Simon and he asks him to push off a little bit from the shore. Then he sat down and he talked to people from the boat. Brothers and sisters, this brings us to our first point, which is helpful for all of us, particularly in our series RSVP. It's helpful to us as well. If you want to be successful in life, if you want to find fulfillment in anything that you do in life, if you want to have a happy relationship, if you want to be happy at work, if you just want to go driving to work with less stress in your life, this first point will really help us out. Here it is. If you want to find success and happiness in life, first point is this. We've got to let Jesus use our boat. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, let Jesus use your boat. When Jesus was surrounded by the crowd, he chose to get into one of the nearby boats. Now, we must understand that there were other boats nearby, because historians have said that at the time there would have been about 2,000 boats on the lake. Jesus stepped into Simon's boat in order to teach the crowd. Let me share this with you, brothers and sisters. You don't just have to be here. God placed it in your heart to be here. You don't just have to be saved. God placed it in your heart to even be drawn to salvation. There are other boats out on the sea, but God chose to use you and me. It's a blessing to know that he is able and willing to save us. When I think about my own life stories, I know there were other boats. There were other more qualified boats. There were better boats, stronger boats than me, but God chose to use me. Jesus steps into Simon's boat to do a little bit of teaching. Simon is a fisherman. That's how he makes his living. The boat was essential for his type of fishing. Jesus says, Simon, can I use your boat? My question this morning, brothers and sisters, is this. Are you willing to let Jesus use your boat? Are you willing to let Jesus use your boat? Are you willing to allow God to use your resources? Are you willing to let Jesus use what you have in order to accomplish his purpose and plan in the world? Are you willing to allow Jesus to use your skills and skill sets to do his work? In order to do this, we've got to see that our reason for being is bigger than things. It's bigger than houses and cars. But it's more about God. In order to do this, we've got to see that our purpose for living is more about him than it is about pleasing them. Can Jesus use your life to accomplish something bigger than you? Too many of us have been fooled into believing that success in life has more to do with the kind of car you drive or having a mate or even a $64 million jet. We've been fooled to believe that success is determined by what we have and how people celebrate us. But once we realize that success is allowing God to use our lives to accomplish something bigger than us, then we're saying, Jesus, you can use my boat. I can remember Sabrina and I, we're in South Carolina. Matter of fact, her brother, our in-laws are here now, brother and sister-in-law are here. Went to South Carolina, and while we were there, we learned about this man who was an iron worker. Man was an iron worker, famous. His gates are all over the place. And I didn't even know. I mean, the White House knew about him. People over in Europe were calling him. The man was world famous for simply making iron gates. I was like, cool, I'm going to go see this man. And so we went to his house. It's in the hood. And so we got off the little shuttle, and God brings us into this little house. Now, there is a house and then there is a shack. And so the house was his next door neighbor. The shack was his house. And so we go in and we see this little, like a one bedroom shack. Then in the back was his little ironwork. He didn't have a whole bunch of employees. He simply had some little tools that he worked with his hands every day until he died, simply making gates. And everyone all over the world knew about this man. And I asked the question, why, if he made all of this money, the man was a millionaire, but he lived in a little shack. Why was this the case? People said, oh, that's because he did not use his money to buy things. He noticed the little kids in the community because you're in the hood. And so what he did was tell them, if you graduate, I'll pay for you to go to college. And so the man used his life and his skill set for something bigger than himself. Yes, he could have had the nice car. Yes, he could have had a bigger house. But he said, I know my story will run on longer if I make it a part of something that's bigger than me. The man, in essence, was saying, Jesus, you can use my boat. He was willing to let Jesus use his boat. Are you willing to let Jesus use your boat? That means, are you willing to open your car door and bring somebody to church with you? That means, are you willing to show the love of God to people that need it? Are you willing to give Jesus your resources when it's uncomfortable for you? Are you willing to give Jesus out of not just your surplus, but also out of your lack? God, I'm tired. I really don't feel like going out this week, but I'm going to do it because I'm a part of something bigger than myself. Think about it for a second. In what ways can Jesus use your boat to accomplish his plan? In the text, Jesus climbs into the boat and says, Simon, can I use your boat to do a little teaching? Jesus is still asking the question today. He's saying to you and I, can I use your boat to do a little teaching? Can I use your boat to reach somebody with the gospel? Can I use your boat to save a little boy, a little girl? Can I use your boat to change somebody's life? Can I use your boat to fix somebody's relationship? Can I use your boat to make a difference in the world? Can I use your boat in order to do something bigger than you? If you want to find success in life, then you've got to be willing to allow Jesus to use your boat. Many of us may have heard, it's all over YouTube, the story of a little boy. Well, he's not even a little boy, it's a man that wants to be successful. And so the story says a man goes down to this beach area where there's a guru there that talks about being successful. And he goes and he sees the guru, and the brother is dressed sharp. You know, normally I wear a bow tie on Sunday. So he has on his bow tie, let's say a Hugo Boss shirt. He wasn't there yet, but he was just trying to act like he was there. And so he had on everything he had on just to kind of look like he wanted to be successful. He goes to the guru, The guru says, what can I help you with? The boy says, I want to be successful. I want to make it big. I want to make money. The man said, okay, cool. You want to make money? Come back here 5 o'clock in the morning and see me. I'll show you how to make some money. Okay, cool. No problem. Comes back. Again, he's dressed sharp. I mean, he looks like he's got money. The guru says, come on out here into the ocean with me. Guru, I don't know how much your shoes cost, but these ain't like ocean walking shoes. I mean, I read about Jesus doing that. Guru, I'm not Jesus. Now, if you want to make money, you want to be successful, come out in the water with me. So the guy begins to walk out into the water. He's waist deep. The guru says, come out a little further, to the point that he's in the shoulder area. And the guru grabs him, holds him underwater. Obviously, he's kicking and he's flailing. Now, some of y'all are thinking, I don't know what guru that is or what beach it is. I don't want to go there. And so he's holding him underwater. He comes up for air, and he says, you want to be successful? He said, yeah, and he pushes him back under the water. Then he finally pulls him up, and he says, do you want to be successful? He said, yes, but why are you drowning me? He said, when you want success as bad as you want to breathe, then you will find success. He's challenging him to go further than he's used to going. To get outside of his comfort zone, because it's uncomfortable when you cannot breathe. But how bad do you want it? That's our second point, brothers and sisters. Not only do we have to allow Jesus to use our boat, but secondly, we've got to go further. We've got to go further. Here is what it says. After Jesus had finished teaching the crowd, he turns to Simon. Says to him, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, shared with you earlier, Jesus is not a fisherman. As a matter of fact, he grew up doing carpentry. Jesus, let me help you understand, I went to school for this. Jesus, I got a degree. I got 2 degrees in this. Jesus, I've moved up. I've got a GS whatever doing this. Jesus, this is my widget. This is my lane. You build stuff. I catch stuff. Jesus, you don't know much about fishing. Jesus is not a fisherman. He's a carpenter. However, he tells a fisherman, launch out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, I need to help us understand something. The Lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, is about 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, and at its lowest point, it's about 150 feet deep. Now, I'm telling you those statistics or those facts for a reason. When Jesus tells Simon to do this, he's not simply saying, hey, man, just go out fishing again. No, he's telling him to do something that's not commonly done. Because Simon had a simple fishing boat. They were not made to go out in the deep water. I mean, it's pretty much almost like a little canoe that he has. Jesus, my boat ain't made for deep water. I got this little bitty boat so I can stay where I'm comfortable at. They would push out a little bit from the coast. They would drop their nets and they would just drag them back in. We don't go out in deep water. Not for me. I had a kind of boat. I told you, you're a carpenter. You do. Obviously, you're a carpenter. You don't know much about boats. Our boat doesn't really do that. They were on the lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee. And that lake was surrounded by high hills, which were about 700 feet. It was below sea level. And those conditions combined change temperatures rapidly. And when those temperatures would change, violent storms would break out. Jesus, we don't go out in deep water because storms break out in the deep water. Jesus, my boat ain't made for deep water. Push out a little bit where I can still see shore. If I'm going to do something, it ain't going to be that risky. I know what I'm doing. If I need to walk back, I can walk back. Jesus, we have little bitty boats. Surrounded by high hills, violent storms would break out. Jesus tells Simon to push out into deep water. He's saying, Simon, I want you to do what most people don't do. I want you to go where most people don't go. I want you to try something that most people won't try. Jesus tells Simon to go out into the deep water. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, that command is still echoing today. He's saying to you and to I to launch out into the deep water. Go to the places where other people avoid. Are you willing to touch lives that other people don't want to touch? Are you willing to reach somebody that other people have stopped trying to reach? Many of us get stuck in our comfortable routines of life and we are never living out our full potential because we don't want to launch out into the deep water. I read a book the other day. It's called The Icarus Deception. Icarus Deception, you should check it out, by a man named Seth Godin. In the book, he talks about catching the wily fox. I don't know what a wily fox is. I just know of a fox, but he calls it the wily fox. He says, if you want to catch a fox because they're crafty, what you do is this. You go out into a field where the foxes are, and you build a wall, just like a normal straight wall. Put a bait by the wall, some food, and they come. They'll get the food. And then they'll leave. He said, then build another side to the wall, like at a 90-degree angle. Put a bait in the middle. They'll wait for a little bit, and then they'll come, and they'll eat it. And then they'll leave. He said, then build a third side to the wall, almost like a U now. Put the food in the middle. And when you do that, they'll come after a while, and then they'll eat it. He said, now wait for a little bit longer. Put a bait there again. And when you do this, just walk up to it. And build another wall with a gate to it. Then put some bait in there. They're going to take a little while because they're going to be a little afraid of it. But when they see the bait there, they'll come into the gate and they'll eat. But this time, because they've been used to food coming there, they'll still be in there prancing around just as happy as can be. All you have to do is close the gate. In other words, brothers and sisters, some of us have been so routine in what we do We've gotten so comfortable in it. I come to church on Sunday morning, just Sunday morning, and if it's changing time, I may not go to that church anymore. I pray on Tuesday. I pray on Tuesday because I know we got this meeting with my boss on Tuesday. I don't really like him anyway, so I'm praying God give me the strength to get. We have our little routines that we go through, and we're just like the fox. Brothers and sisters, the devil knows the same thing about all of us. And so we never get outside of our comfort zone. My command today is simply this. Go out into the deep. Get out of your comfort zone and allow God to use you to do something bigger and greater than who you are. Attach yourself to something that's greater and see how many lives can be changed. Break out of your norm of routine and say, God, you can use my boat and I'm willing to launch out into the deep water. We must stop being comfortable as just Sunday morning Christians and past folk, day in and day out, and never willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of us live in houses with people that we see and we wave goodbye to them as we go to church, but we are never really taking the risk to say, hey, before I go, can I just pray with you? Launch out into the deep. Simon says, Master, let me help us understand this. He's saying, Master, because this is not the first time he met Jesus. Simon and his brother Andrew were disciples of John the Baptist. And so when John pointed Jesus out as the Lamb of God, Andrew went and found his brother and told him, we found the Messiah. Brought Simon Peter to Jesus. Now, after meeting Jesus the first time, I've come to church, I know him, okay, you do some healing. He went back to catch some fish. He went back to his routine. You know, many of us are just like that. We come to church. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we do all, we are all out on the floor and everything. That's when we first, you know, come to church and it's your life has been changed. And you tell everybody, you know, early in the morning, you post scripture verses on your Facebook page. And you're just all into it for a couple of months, you know. And then you go back to fishing. You go back to your routine. That's what Simon did. The text, he says, Master, which is teacher, we have worked hard all night long and we haven't caught anything. In other words, what he's saying is this. Look, we've been out here in the water all night. We've cast our nets. We've labored and we've caught nothing. Jesus, I tried. I tried. I really did. I gave it my best effort. I worked at it. Jesus, I told people to come to church. Jesus, I tried to pray with somebody, but they said it was weird and that it was awkward. And we began to say, God, I really tried, but it just didn't work for me. And so we pull ashore and we begin to wash our nets. Lord, the last time I did that, I got hurt. Lord, the last time I got out there, it was dangerous. Lord, the last time I tried to invite somebody, they cursed me out. Lord, the last time they said they were coming, but they never did come. And so I just stopped asking them. Many of us have been hindered from pushing out into the deep because of our past failures. We've tried to share the gospel with others, but they didn't listen. You tried to share Jesus, but you got cursed out. They told you they were coming and didn't show up. In the text, Simon Peter says, Jesus, teacher, we tried that all night long and came up empty. Simon Peter does something that many of us find it hard to do and to say. Simon says, but because you said so, I'll do it again. I'll let down my nets. As a matter of fact, I'll go further than I've gone before and I'll let down my nets. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a blessing it will be when the church move beyond past failures and move at the word of the Lord. I know many of us have tried before, but God wants us to launch out into the deep and let down our nets. I know you tried it before. I know you've been let down before, but God is saying launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Text says when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come to help them out. I'm almost out of here, brothers and sisters. Here's our third point, and that's this. What happens in deep water? Now, this is the perplexing part of the text for me. Jesus is a carpenter. Jesus builds things. Peter is a fisherman. Jesus says to him to launch out into the deep and to let down your net. Now, here's a question I have. I struggle with it. Did Jesus just know where the fish were? Did
Did Jesus pray that God would send the fish? Did the fish move because Jesus wanted them to? How did Jesus know to tell them to launch out into the deep? Not into just a little water, but go out into the deep and let down your nets. How did Jesus get a memo that this is where the school is? Did he have some tracking device to know where the fish were at? These are the questions I wrestled with throughout the week. And to be honest with you, I have no idea. I don't know how Jesus knew where the fish were at. But here's what I did know. Had Simon not been willing to launch out, nothing would have happened. Had Simon not been willing to say, God, at your word, I'll launch out into the deep, no fish would have been caught. I don't know whether the fish showed up because of Simon's faith or in spite of Simon's faith, but I do know this. When Simon was willing to launch out into the deep, he caught so many fish that he could not handle them all. My brothers and my sisters, I want to challenge you in your personal life, not just with inviting people to church, but I want to challenge you to be willing to trust God when God leads you to launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep when it comes to your career and trust God. Launch out into the deep when it comes to your finances and trust God. Launch out into the deep when it comes to your relationship and trust God. But Pastor, what's going to happen? Simon had no idea what was going to happen, but all he knew was that the Lord had given him a word to launch out into the deep. My brothers and my sisters, when God commands you to launch out into the deep, you've got to be willing to look fear in his face and say, fear, my Lord said to move and to launch out. You've got to be willing to look at your own difficulties and say, difficulties, my Lord said to launch out. Look past your own failures and say, failure, my Lord said to launch out into the deep. When we trust God and his word, we'll catch so much that we can't even hold it all. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was a carpenter, but he taught a fisher about how to catch fish. It happened because the fisherman was allowing Jesus to use his boat. Every day, God comes to you and he says, can I use your boat to do a little teaching? Can I use your boat to reach somebody? Well, Pastor, what's my boat? I'm not a fisherman, but I write. So maybe your boat is to write a letter to somebody to let them know that Jesus still loves them. Pastor, I'm not a fisherman and I don't write, but I sing. So maybe your boat is to lift praises to God to encourage somebody's life. Pastor, I'm not a fisherman. I don't write and I don't sing. Maybe your boat is simply to invite somebody to ride to church with you in your nice car. Whatever your boat is, you've got to be willing to say, Jesus, you can use my boat. And then you've got to be willing to go further than you've gone before. There are so many people who are waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.